Sign up to tote.co.uk today and place your first bet. If it loses, they'll refund your stake in cash up to £20. And don't forget, by betting directly with Tote Online, you get a 10% bonus on your winnings on all horse race markets with the game-changing Tote Plus. Exclusively at tote.co.uk.
Glorious week of racing with Galway and, of course, glorious Goodwood itself. I'm Emmett Kennedy. Welcome onto the show and thank you so much for tuning in. Remember that if you are betting online with Tote, so that's tote.co.uk, the official Tote app, or tote.ie, you get advantage of Tote Plus, a 10% boost on top of your winnings, but it is literally only available through tote.co.uk, tote.ie, or the official Tote app. Who are we going to preview Goodwood with? Well, two great minds and two great people. One is the assistant trainer to Sir Michael Stout, now the only assistant trainer to Sir Michael Stout. So with double the workload, I do hope that means double the pay. James Savage, welcome back to the show.
Welcome. Thanks, Emmett. Thanks for that. Yeah. No double pay, just extra work, unfortunately.
Right. Well, then just play this very loudly in Sir Michael Stout's presence and see what reaction.
No, we're all good. Looking forward to it.
And well done on the added responsibility. And a man who will be on our screens this week, covering Galway and Goodwood from Racing TV, the brilliant Tom Ball.
Hi, Emmett. Lovely to be on again. Very much looking forward to this week, despite the fact that the rain has slightly dampened my spirits. But nevertheless, it should be a cracking week nonetheless.
Yeah, it should be. And look, we were kind of baking in sunshine in Ireland and that's our thing in Ireland. We just complain about the weather no matter what it is. Oh, it's too cold. Oh, it's way too hot. But that's just the way we are. The thing is, I genuinely didn't think it was going to be this bad, but it is. And it's interesting to hear that the same thing is happening in the UK as well. So from your own perspective, James, I know you were saying that you've taken a horse out that was going to run tomorrow. How much do you think it's going to affect Goodwood?
We've taken out a nice filly owned by Michael Table called Star Seeking. She's such a good action filly. She's only had two runs, and it would have just been the wrong thing to do to run her, I think, on that ground. She's definitely a top of the ground or good ground horse, so we'll save her. It's just unfortunate that even Ascot as well encountered them sort of days where the ground was changing. And, you know, in July, people train horses for these meetings, good ground horses, in the hope that you get good, fast racing grounds, this summer ground. It's disappointing. And the form will be questioned after the meeting for sure, because there'll be some winners that, you know, have risen because of the ground. And there'll be some high profile horses, I'm sure, that can't perform on that type of ground. So it's just a little disappointing in my opinion, but there we go. We can't help the weather.
We cannot. But we can take a look at the markets and we can make our best predictions for the week, particularly from the two lads, because as I said, they've got great analytical minds when it comes to form and when it comes to betting as well, particularly in Tom's case. So let's look at Stradivarius. He's what price? Is what the three of us were all saying to each other off air. So I had to actually ask James, have you heard that Stradivarius lost a leg? He's gone from being a very, very short price favorite to all of a sudden being, I mean, if he was 11 to 10, I'd say something. 7 to 4? Wow.
I think if you're a Stradivarius fan, this is just becoming a very, very backable price. I think people looking at that race at the Gold Cup when he had absolutely no luck and the eventual winner got away from the whole field, people are questioning whether if he'd have been able to get out, would he have actually got there? Is he still the same Stradivarius? Personally, I think if he'd have got out, he would have been second and not a close second. But still, that form is more than good enough to win tomorrow. He's effective he's won on soft ground. I think his best ground is probably good ground or better. I see the money was coming for Trushan sort of yesterday when I was looking at the race and through the morning. I just feel people are clinging on to one thing here with Trushan, the ground. His run in the Northumberland Plate was okay. That ended up a bit of a messy race, but it's just the ground with Trushan, whereas, you know, Stradivarius is all class. And I just, when they were, if they were even money, sort of 3-1, 7-2 Trushan, I wouldn't have been with Stradivarius that short a price, but he's certainly becoming a backable price in my opinion. And the way he's drifting, he could even touch 15-8, 2-1.
Interesting thought. What about for yourself, Tom? I think a lot of people will look at the price and go, oh, well, something's clearly wrong, therefore I'm not going to back him, as opposed to, as James was just saying, oh, this is too big, you have to get stuck in. But you do have to forgive him the arc run. He got thrashed on Champions Day at Ascot. He was entitled to win, and he's come back. And then when seemingly, okay, he's found trouble in running, but also Frankie Dettori was doing a very good insurance job there. It's like, oh no, look at this stone dropping back through the field. Bang.
Can I just jump in there?
Yeah.
The horse was, you know, campaigned for the Ark, and rightfully so, because he's been such a good servant to the owner and the trainer last year. Mile and a half, you know, in that ground is going to leave its mark on any horse. So the fact he got beat again at Ascot, it was disappointing to see, but it doesn't surprise me. You come out of an Ark, you have to be a seriously, seriously strong horse, and have a, you know, you have to come out of it so well to go on to a Breeders' Cup or a Champions meeting, etc. So for me, them two runs are excusable.
He was ridden after 2 furlongs, actually, wasn't he?
He was just, you know, and you don't know until you go to Ascot post-start how he is, because he's a boisterous horse at home, and he's very energetic. So he'd have been shown John and Thady all the good signs. But it's only when you jump out of them stalls that you see if the what mark the arc has left. And he bounced back at the start of the season and won, you know. And you, even like I said, even with a run, he would have been second. And still, for me, that form is good enough to win tomorrow.
So what about you then, Tom? What's your thoughts on the race? And there's a number of Coolmore horses in here. Gavin was pretty much always going to be on board. Dunica's horse. Emperor of the Sun is the shortest price. And Ryan Moore chose Serpentine. He's, aside from Aaron Levine, who won last time out, is effectively the outside of the Coolmore lot. So is this where Stradivarius bounces back? Is Trushan better than James was suggesting?
I don't really think this is a very good race, perfectly honest. And Stradivarius, I think it was very important that he won on return, because at least we know that he's still operating to a high level. And then I agree with James. I think he would have been second to Ascot with a clear run. Subjectivist is too good. He's a very smart stayer and just gallops on relentlessly. There was no shame in finishing second to him. And I think that form is going to be good enough to win here. He hasn't got to carry a penalty this year, which was also helpful. We know he loves the track. And a lot of people, do you remember, it wasn't very long ago, that people were saying, oh, Stradivarius can't act on soft ground at all. He hates it. He absolutely hates it before Ascot. And he went and won by 10 lengths in the Gold Cup and proved everyone wrong in quite dramatic fashion. So I remember after that race, people were saying, actually, is he even better on softer ground? So I would argue the conditions are possibly in his favour, where they might not be in some other horses' cases. So I think 7-4 is a bit of a ridiculous price, really. I think he will be backed in on the day just because it's Frankie Gosden and it's Stradivarius. He's a household name. I would expect him to go short than that, maybe around the 11-10 mark, possibly out to 11-8, 6-4. But I think he'll be short than 7-4. And I think he'll win. He's got such a good record at Goodwood. And as I say, he's not carrying a penalty this year. So I think provided he runs to either his starts on his last couple of runs, I think he's the one to beat. Of the others, obviously Trushan is very effective on soft ground. It was a good run, the Northumberland Plate, off top weight. If he was going to win that, it would have been pretty impressive. Even though Reece Clutterbuck was claiming £5. And it was a very nice reappearance at Chester as well when finishing second to Japan, which is decent form because he stays further than the mile 5.5. And the connections, I'm sure, will be delighted with that reappearance. We know he likes soft ground. One thing he does have to prove, though, is that he's never been at Goodwood before. So that's definitely something that he needs to show he can do, because obviously Goodwood is very much an idiosyncratic track and does take some getting used to for some horses. So he needs to prove that, whereas obviously Stradivarius has been there, done it. Stradivarius is ahead on ratings. Everyone else has got it all to do. I think Spanish Mission isn't quite good enough for a race like this. One that I would be more interested in is Saron Priestley, but he does have it to prove over this kind of trip. For all that, I think he's got a pretty good chance, to be honest. But soft ground for him is also a bit of a question mark. So I do think it's Stradivarius is to lose. I don't think any of the Aidan O'Brien horses are good enough, apart from possibly Santiago, who could sneak a place. I think he's the only one who's capable of doing so. But for me, yeah, Stradivarius is race to lose. I'd be quite surprised if he didn't get beaten. And I think the only way he wouldn't get beaten is if he ran possibly 6-7 pounds below his best.
I agree with you on the Coolmore horses. There's a slight doubt in the back of my mind about Stradivarius, but then again, he is becoming a very backable price. That may be gone on Tuesday morning. Saran Priestley would be the horse I'd go with, actually. I did just notice that Alassi, who there were massively high hopes for, has been gelded since his defeat at the hands of Saran Priestley. So, we'll see what, maybe that'll change his temperament and we'll see how he gets on. But anyway, it's
definitely... Several horses in need of gelding. It was Alassi, wasn't it?
Oh, God. Not to take anything away from Pile Driver, by the way, who's a monster of a horse.
But, no, not at all.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. He's a pup. Right, to the Vintage Stakes at Goodwood. Berkshire Shadow, and I had to correct myself there to get that pronunciation correct. Thank you, Oisin Murphy. Obviously, the Coventry winner is back out for more success at a major festival and is currently your 15-8 favourite. You can get twos, even as big as 9-4, actually, with one firm. Aidan O'Brien's just sending over the one, James, and it's the Acropolis, the horse that Sarah Lynham had heard was the best juvenile at the Coolmore Yard, and that was before, that was after he was beaten on debut. He then won at Listowel and was the only selection, and he sounded quite confident about him for the Coventry Stakes. The only horse that they ran in the Coventry. Disappointed last time out behind Go Bears Go. Can he bounce back here?
I think he can. I really like this horse, Emmett. I see that, you know, he didn't have a great run through at Ascot, and I just felt when I watched the race that they were just always going a stride too quick for him. He was never in his comfort zone. That's why I've been waiting to see this horse stepped up to 7 furlongs. I thought last time out when Frankie rode him in the Curragh, I just thought they made too much use of him. And he was a bit of a sitting duck, and he was beaten too far out, you know. I've been waiting for him to step up to 7. Does he go on the ground? You know, he's run on easy ground. He's out of pivotal mare. That's questionable, but I'm looking forward to watching him up at 7, and I'm certainly going to be with him tomorrow. The going back to the favourite, Berkshire Shadow, won at 5, stepped up, won at 6 at Ascot, now stepping up to 7 on very different conditions. We actually trained the dam at Stouts called Angel Vision. She was an Oasis Dream filly out of Islington. Lovely, beautiful filly, and she stayed a mile and probably would have got 10 furlongs. So there's stamina on the dam side. But going 5-6 and then 7 on soft would concern me right now, and I'm with the Acropolis. I'm really looking forward to seeing him run tomorrow.
Ooh, that is a nice vote of confidence. Tumble, what about you?
Yeah, I can definitely see him running well. I think it's a very interesting race because both the best horses with the best form in the race, Berkshire Shadow and Lusail, have to carry a penalty, which is not going to help either of them. And this rain is going to test them in very different ways to their most recent victories. And I'm going to take them both on because I think they've got it all to prove and that the prices are not particularly keen. But I think Eldrick Jones has certainly not reached his ceiling yet. And he's got to be probably the highest rated maiden in the country, isn't he? At least up there.
Yeah.
At 104. He's run very well on his last couple of starts. When behind Berkshire Rocco at Ascot, sorry, Berkshire Shadow at Ascot, I should say, at 66-1. And then at Newmarket last time in July Stakes, where he didn't really get any sort of a run until the final stage when the birds had already flown. But he still ran really well, just beaten 3 lengths in the end. I think this step up the 7 furlongs is tailor-made for him, to be honest, because I'm not sure, even though he travelled really well at Ascot and despite getting done in the death by Berkshire Shadow, I'm not sure he's quite a 6 furlong out-and-out speedster. And I think possibly he's got that extra bit of stamina and the soft ground could easily play into his hands. He's unproven on it so far, but I can see it working for him. No problem at all. He gets £3 from the big players in the market. And I don't think he's definitely got a big one in him. Whether it be today, on Tuesday, or another day, is remains to be seen. But he's certainly a Group 2 winner, Group 1 winner possibly in the making. And I think that weight that he gets, and provided he gets a clear run and the different conditions, is just going to suit him down to the ground. So I think at the price is definitely Eldrick Jones for me.
I would nearly do the reverse exacta on Eldrick Jones and the Acropolis. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get all the money. Let's take it all. Get the front two out of the frame. Godolphin have been having a fantastic time of things, and they go for more glory. This time in the Lennox Stakes over Group 2. It's a return to 7 furlongs for a Creative Force, so I thought ran an absolutely superb race. To be fair, he'd been doing really well over 6 furlongs, and suddenly people were like, oh, he needs 7, because he'd won the jersey. But the return to 7 is not going to be a bad thing, because he was really good at Ascot, James.
I like him. I think 7 furlong is his trip. He's won at 6 and 7, but I think 7 furlongs is his trip. He's proven on easy ground. Space Blues is a quality animal.
Yeah.
Quality animal. And if he'd had a run back since Maidan, even with the ground as easy as it is, I'd been strong with him. But that's an awful lot to ask of a horse to come back from first time out in a race like this, where there's going to be plenty of pace on, say, Foyage will go forward. There's going to be pace. He's drawn 12, which is not easy over 7. It doesn't sound like there's a, you know, you need to be as close to that. Well, ideally, not too close to the fence, because you can get stuck down there. But 12 is wide enough. I think William will be looking for a bit of cover straight away just to get him switched off on heels, to get him to come home. But Space Blues may well is the best horse in this race, I've no doubt, and we'll probably beat them all next time out if they reappear together. But I'm going to go with Fitness Edge, a good draw, and a horse in form that will, we know the trip and ground, there's no questions about. So I'm with Creative Force. I think he's an absolutely lovely horse.
Yeah, I'm with him as well. I think that they were quite annoyed that they couldn't go for the Commonwealth Cup.
Yeah,
the gelding situation. But hey, look, it's led him clearly to being able to be the talent that he is. Tom, are you in agreement, or are you setting elsewhere?
Yep, Creative Force for me as well. That's he's the one. I don't think it's going to suit Space Blues this race in soft ground. I wouldn't be at all surprised, actually, if he doesn't run and Buick switches to Creative Force come the day.
Interesting.
I don't think Space Blues really wants this kind of ground, and it's a pretty tough race, I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's tougher than the one he won last year. And I think Creative Force, whose form stacks up so highly this year, that run in the July Cup, he didn't really ever get a clear run, proper clear run. He couldn't really be stoked up properly. I think he would have finished closer than fifth if he had done. And that win at Ascot in the jersey was fantastic victory out in the centre of the track. I thought you were in a massive race there. And he loves the ground. We already know that. He's a really improving type. He's very straightforward. I agree with everything James said. I echo completely his sentiments. And I think Creative Force will be very hard to beat here. Ken Ross, nice to see him back to form last time out. Going to be tough to defy that draw, I think, in 13. And I don't think he's probably good enough. Safe Voyage won really well at Chester last time under a brilliant Jason Hart ride, who took the bull by the horns. He likes soft ground, so I can see him running well. But I think they're all going to have to go to get Creative Force. And as I say, I don't think Space Blues, if there is more rain or if it stays as soft as it is, it'd be a tall surprise to see him get pulled out.
Feature race Wednesday, Jim Bulger and the Iron Horse 2.0 Poetic Flair are back for more Group 1 glory. So 2,000 guineas, success at Royal Ascot in an absolutely devastating turn of foot. And Jim was very, very bullish before and very bullish after. And it's probably going to suit Poetic Flair, James, because the ground is going against who could arguably be his main dangers if you're looking at the 2 Aidan O'Brien horses. And actually, Tom made a good point. Order of Australia might not even run if this ground is the way it is. So what's your take? Is Poetic Flair just going to be too good?
I think he is. I do. You know, he's becoming, like you said, the new Iron Horse. Even the ground might, you know, the ground I would hope would be drying out by then, but it's still going to be sticky, easy ground. And you look back at his runs on soft ground, they're still very creditable runs, you know, finishing second to McSweeney in the Irish Guineas, and he didn't get a great run behind St. Mark's Basilica in France. I think he's a better horse on top of the ground because it's simple. His gear change is just amazing. He'll just be sat behind the leaders waiting to quicken. Yeah, two out. He wins for me. I don't think there's any point trying to be clever, trying to get him beat. I think it's going to be extremely hard for Snow Lantern to pick him up. I think they'll have to try. They'll obviously try and get us switched off early. The jockey booking is the right booking for the filly. With Sean Levy being banned, unfortunately, it's a shame for him because he does so much work with the filly, so I hear. But he'll be watching on hope she can win. I think she can run well, but this is a big step up taking on a horse like Poetic Flair. You know, Century Dream's not going to make it an easy test for any of them to get by him, and he will take some passing. 33-1 is a huge price, in my opinion. When they could all be locked up behind him if he gets an easy lead. But I just think Poetic Flair will go by him and win well.
Especially given his course and distance record and on that ground as well. But I'm completely in agreement with you. It's all about Poetic Flair. So, Tom, we were all in agreement about Creative Force. Are we all in agreement about Poetic Flair?
We are, yeah. I think he's the winner. I love the horse, and I love the way he's been campaigned. He's a thoroughbred with a really good constitution, and that's what horses are bred to do, is race. And Jim Bolger has not shied away, and he's raced him as often as he can do in these top-class contests. Yes, he might not have performed every time. That's sixth behind St. Mark's Basilica. Probably not his best form at Longchamp, but every other race he's run in, he has performed extremely creditably, if not brilliantly. And a horse like that should be running races off as often as he has, and I applaud Jim Bolger for doing that in the way that he has. I think it's very brave when not many trainers do that these days, and he has been rewarded by that. And I think he's going to win again. I think Poetic Flair's got the best form in the race, other than Lope Fernandez, and I think because he obviously acts on soft ground, he's going to be very hard to beat. Of the other two, I'm not really that keen on either of the fillies, to be honest. I think Alcohol Free and Snowlands, and well, they both act in heavy ground, but I don't think they're going to be good enough to get to Poetic Flair, whose form is a different class. And unfortunately, I was saying just off air that I'm disappointed that Lope Fernandez hasn't got his fast ground, because for me, he is, behind Palace Pier, the best miler in Britain and Ireland. And I think if he had quick ground, he'd win this. And I was disappointed at Ascot because he didn't really get a clear run until Palace Pier had flown. I think he would have made it very interesting in the Queen Anne. He wouldn't have won, I don't think, but he would have got within about half length of Palace Pier. He's a very, very, very good miler on fast ground. I have absolutely no doubt about that, and I can't wait to see him later in the season, possibly with the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah,
I think that would really suit him. I know the Order of Australia won last year, but I do think Lope Fernandez has got that Grade One in him, all Group One on fast ground, but not unfortunately not on Wednesday, because the soft ground has come really against him. Of the two who will enjoy the soft ground, Tilsit's definitely overpriced. I think he won really nicely, beating Century Dream at Ascot last time. That was a career best. And he's going the right way for Charlie Hills. He's not good enough to beat Poetic Flair, but he's won at Goodwood. He beat My Oberon at Goodwood. That's good form. And can see him running well. I completely agree with James about Century Dream. Massively overpriced. Loves Goodwood. Loves soft ground. And he could definitely sneak a place behind Poetic Flair, I think.
We'll take a look at the key races from Thursday at Goodwood in a second. First of all, delighted that the first 3 days at this year's Goodwood Festival are, of course, with Tote World Pool Days. And there has so far been £186 million in Whirlpool turnover across the 8 days that Whirlpool has been in action this year. That's just this year. The biggest ever Whirlpool was last year. 2020, Royal Ascot with a £1.33 million quinella in the Sandringham Stakes. The biggest Whirlpool at this year's Royal Ascot was in the Royal Hunt Cup, with just shy of £1 million in the pool. And when we say Whirlpool is about making bigger pools and giving better value to you, can't possibly give you a better example than the 2021 Britannia Stakes Trifecta, which paid on the TriCast, the bookmakers, £9,743. With Tote and the Whirlpool, and Tote Plus, that TriCast becomes a trifecta, and it paid £65,576 to a £1 stake. Are you kidding me? There is the kind of value we're talking about. Last year, the Goodwood Place Pot on the Saturday of the festival paid £2,211.20. So remember, if you're getting involved on the day of race betting, if you want to do a place pot, you want to get involved for the first 3 days, the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of Goodwood, Tote will give you access to the World Pool. That's all these major international markets like Hong Kong, Australia, France, America, all betting in. None of those punters are as savvy as you. You're ahead of the game already, but there's more value there for you. Also, with Tote Plus, you get a 10% bonus on top of your winnings, but that is only available to customers online at tote.co.uk, the official Tote app, or at tote.ie. What are you waiting for? So much value, so much gravy to be had. Get out there and get it. Tote.co.uk. Right, Thursday, NASA Stakes. So we've been in agreement in two races in a row, but is this where we come unstuck? Let's find out. Tom, you can take the lead here. Qatar, NASA Stakes, it's the turn of the fillies. Taking on some of the classic generation. So we've got Lady Beaufort. Adaria is short price favorite. Lady Beaufort could be considered unlucky last time. In fact, Simon Holt was absolutely adamant that with a clear run on the final furlong that she would have won last time out against Snow Lantern. And Joan of Arc, classic winner in France last time out, who was just chinned by Empress Josephine in a classic in her native Ireland. So what's your thoughts on the Qatar Nassau Stakes?
It's a really good race, isn't it, this year? And Ordaya proved that she's a Group 1 filly last time out, although she did, of course, do that last year, but I think really proved herself against her elders and against other horses at Ascot in the Prince of Wales behind Love. That was a cracking run. Provided she doesn't bounce, because, of course, it's her second run back, she's absolutely worthy of favouritism. But she does have to give quite a lot of weight away to Joan of Arc, who won really nicely in the Prix de Diane at Chantilly. She's definitely going the right way quickly as well. Just keeps improving. This 1 mile two trip is better for her than the mile trip that she just got touched off in the Irish Guineas. And I think in receipt of that weight, I'd be keen on Joan of Arc, who will handle the ground. And I think she is one of those fillies that Aidan O'Brien's got, who just continues on that upward trajectory as she gets older. She didn't start off in the manner of a filly who would eventually get to Group 1 level, but she's, as so many daughters and sons of Galileo, RIP, do, just keeps getting better as they get older. So for me, Joan of Arc, in receipt of that weight, the see off or die. Lady Beaufort's really disappointed me so far this season after that brilliant second in the Lockinge, because I think she should have won in the Duke of Cambridge. I mean, that race was made for her, really. I couldn't believe she got beaten 2.5 lengths by Indy Angel, who produced an absolutely epic performance in that. And then behind Snow Lantern again, I just think she's possibly a little bit flattered by that Lockinge form. And for all that she's very, very game mare and very hardy, I'd be inclined to think Joan of Arc and Ordaya are a little bit too classy for her. And that weight allowance just tips the scales in the balance of Joan of Arc.
Tumble. My man. 8-1 I got about Joan of Arc. I'll sing it from the rooftops.
Very nice.
I just went, you know what? They're going to go for the race with her. They are. And this classic generation are proven really, really good and taking advantage of every opportunity that's been given to them in the Group 1 races. Right, James, now bring me back down to earth.
Now, I'm lucky enough. I see Lady Beaufort almost every morning. It's William Jarvis' Stranger's String, a similar time to us, and I would absolutely love to see this filly win. I think she'll stay. Yeah, her form, I agree with Tom. You'd probably have to question it a little bit. One thing I would defend her in Ascot was they got racing up the, not quite up the middle, but near to middle. And Lady Beaufort and our filly Queen Power, they were racing too far out, in my opinion. And Frankie very, very well pulled his filly right down near the near side rail and just did a solo, and just they didn't see him, he was gone. I thought it was an extremely clever ride when they were all looking around each other really up the middle. They, like I said, they got racing too far. That's just my opinion. And her Lockinge form was good, but again, like Tom said, was she flattered? You know, you look behind there, you've got Lord Glitter's Top Rank. They're nice horses, but you wouldn't say they're top class horses. I'm hoping she runs well, but yeah, I think she may fill the placings. Joan of Arc is, for me, still thoroughly unexposed. That was a magnificent run in Chantilly. But I'm actually going to go with the Fanshawe filly, I think.
Oh, man, we were so close to another three in a row.
I think you can look at that race and the Prince of Wales, and this is what nearly put me off it. You know, you look at Love, she's ran all right Saturday, but, you know, a little bit disappointing in my opinion. Armory, third, got beat at York. Then you're looking at My Oberon, Desert Encounter, and Sangaris, who was very disappointing for us. But I don't think that was a really strong race, but it wasn't a strong run race. I think they didn't go a strong pace all the way around. So that's maybe why she finished so close, because the way James Fantor trains, he'll be counting the targets and bringing them backwards, you know? So she ran really, really well first time out. I expect her to have come forward a lot for that. She goes on soft ground. She's proven over the distance. She's got speed to win around these American tracks. I just think she may have too much about her for Joan of Arc to get by her. You know, she'll quicken on this ground. She showed that last year in France. And the strength of a five-year-old mare in this ground, I know it's weight for ages. You know, she's given a 9 pound, but I just think the strength of this mare will see her through. So I'm with the Fanshawe filly.
I can respect that. And Doria has been absolutely sensational.
No doubt Joan of Arc is going to be a very, very good filly. I just think she might be too much for in the Nassau.
All right. Bull and Kennedy. Versus,
it'd be boring if we all agreed on everything.
Versus Savage. It would be epic. It'd be the biggest lucky 63 the Final Furlong Podcast has ever done. You wanted to talk about, Tom, the John Pierce Racing Gordon Stakes, the Group 3. So take it away. Wordsworth favourite, Third Realm, your second favourite. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I just wanted to quick mention really to Ottoman Emperor, who I've been a big fan of ever since he started winning. He's now built up a hat trick for Johnny Murta, and he's one of those horses that doesn't do anything flashily, but he's very game and he's got a lot of guts and he stays forever. And I think this step up in trip to a mile and a half is going to be right up his street, I have to say. He's a horse who's very unexposed, only had four runs, keeps improving, is always underestimated in the market. He's not really been... he's worth 4-1, 5-2, 5-2. Yes, he's been short, but he's not been favourite. And last time he wasn't expected to win, but he did it very nicely, beating a decent horse in Tarzarol in second. His form definitely needs to improve to win a Group 3 level, but I think the step up in trip will help him in that regard. And I also think he's a horse who's a bit like the Stars of this world, in the fact that he only really ever does just enough. Unlike his sire, Acceleration, who was very flashy, Ottoman Emperor is almost the opposite, complete of that. But he's a classy horse in the making, and a mile and a half could be the making of him. So I think, for me, at the prices, he's definitely a nice, attractive, each way, 8-1-ish. I think Wordsworth, Sir Lamorack, and Sir Lucan, whoever goes for the race, I think they've all got good chances. I mean, of those, I think the best one, a horse is going to be the best of those, possibly in the future, is Sir Lamorack, because he ran a huge race at Ascot off top weight, when arguably he should have won. That was a massive run off mark of 100, to just get beaten in that. And then he didn't run his sort of race last time at Longchamp, but I don't think this soft ground is really up his street. And I think that's what probably beat him in France last time. So for me, I'm going to go with Ottoman Emperor. I think he's unexposed over this trip, could easily improve for it. And this isn't the strongest contest in the world. And he gets a little bit of weight as well from the likes of Youth Spirit. So for me, Ottoman Emperor, at the price, is definitely a good each way price.
Johnny Murta, who was basically the king of Goodwood when he was riding, it would be fantastic to see him training another winner there as well. If Sir Lucan turns up, don't sleep on him. Do not sleep on him at all. Just remember what Aidan O'Brien was saying about him at the start of the season on the Final Furlong Podcast, and how when we talked about Ascot, he made the point of saying, oh no, we're going to keep him back for a little bit later. They didn't want to go for an Irish Derby. They didn't want to go for Royal Ascot. They wanted to hold them back. So possibly St. Leger makes sense. And he beat Wordsworth last time out, who went on to frank that form with a fine run at Royal Ascot and be third in a classic in Ireland. Nothing wrong with finishing second to Hurricane Lane in France in the Grand Prix de Paris, yet Wordsworth is 9-4, and he's much, much bigger. So keep it in mind. James, anything to add before we move on to Friday?
I've nothing strong in this race from a punting angle, but I just think we shouldn't forget about the Roger Varian horse third round. His form of the Lingfield Derby trial on soft ground is very, very good. And he had quite a rough passage in the Derby. I think he might just be, I know he's second favourite, but we're talking about lots of other horses and he's the one I'll be watching with a view going forward, because there's every chance he could stay further by Cedar Stars. Yeah, there's a few in here that we'll be looking at for Leger types. And I'm sure Wordsworth and Sir Luke and Aidan O'Brien Slamrat will go forward, as Autumn Remember has got a nice profile. I like that type of horse, steadily climbing through the races. But I'll be watching Third Realm with interest.
On the Friday, the Unibet Golden Mile handicap, Magical Morning and Maidani pretty much are locked together in the anti-post betting. Tom, who are you leaning on?
Yeah, as always, it's a very, very tricky contest to work out. I think Magical Morning is a very worthy favourite, though. I was quite impressed with the way he picked up Maidani late on last time at Sandown. Maidani had them all in trouble, and it was a really good front-running ride, but Magical Morning did very well to get there, and a £3 penalty is more than palatable, and I think he's going to be a big player under Frankie. But at the price, in that kind of race, it's not really for me. I know he's 6-1, he's very backable, but you just want to be getting for something a little bit bigger at each way odds, really. And I've got a couple who I think we've got decent chances. I mean, this is very competitive. Unusually for this kind of race, for this race even, a lot of these horses are coming to this out of form. And often in the Golden Mile, you get horses who are bang in form contesting this. Magical Morning is one of those. But Beat Le Bon, who won it 2 years ago, is a horse who's been dramatically out of form. But I'm hoping that the return to his favourite track is going to help him. I'm a bit concerned because I don't think he really wants soft ground. He's not really running it many times in his career, but he's got a lightning turn of foot when he's on form. And I'm not sure this soft ground is going to help him, but he does remain a little bit unexposed under the conditions. So I'm hoping Beat Le Bon at the prices, he's quite a big price, 16-ish, is going to be bang up for this. And he's definitely overpriced if he is. And the other one that I like is Artistic Rifles for Ed Bethel, who's going great guns this season. And you can overlook a poor run at York last time out when he was beaten 10.5 lengths in a decent handicap that was won by the serial bridesmaid Kinran, managed to get his head in front that day because he lost a shoe. Obviously doesn't always make a massive difference, but I'm inclined to give him a chance because it was unusually poor, his performance that day, having won two on the bounce beforehand in really good fashion. He looked like a proper improving handicapper. He's got to prove off a mark of 96 still, but he's still very unexposed for his yard, and I can see him running a big race here, provided he gets soft ground, 5-year-old, going the right way. He'll do for me at 20-1, around 20-1. PJ McDonald and Ed Bethel, very much a train to watch going forward. Artistic Rifles and Beat Le Bon are my two against Magical Morning, who I think will be very hard to beat.
Okay, what about James Savage's thoughts?
Yeah, if May Downey gets a decent draw, a lot of this will, the winner of this will depend on the draw ultimately, because if May Downey gets a decent draw and can get to the front again and dictate, he'll be an extremely hard horse to pass if he gets down on that rail. Magical Morning, agree with Tom, he's going in there with that profile, isn't he? That could be anything, could be one of them that steps up to a Cambridge type of horse, you know. John Gosden does excellent with horses like that, or even a listed stakes horse. I really haven't got a strong opinion in the race. I think a lot of the form is tied in together. You know, your likes of Acquitted and Escobar and Madani. I think I'll just plumb with Madani simply because I think if he gets, he's not going to get an easy lead by any stretch, but if he gets a decent draw and can get down on the rail, he'll be an extremely hard horse to pass.
Okay. You know, I did a piece on this for camera for ITV with, of all people, Matt Chapman. And the whole thing was to ask him. Do you know what he said? While this is pointless, it's pointless, Emmett. Draw doesn't mean anything. Draw bias means nothing. I shouldn't even be in the betting ring because what does that matter anymore these days? So I don't know what we're doing here and I don't know what this feature is all about. And the director said, you get that out of your system? And he goes, yep. Okay. Be serious now because we don't have a whole lot of time because you can pre-record, but you've got a certain limited window to do it in. Tee it up and ask him again. He goes, yeah, as I was saying in the last one, this is pointless. This is the director just bollocked him out of it. Absolutely bollocked him out of it. It wasn't even him being funny. It was just like, look, if you don't want to do it, man, don't do it. Jesus Christ. Like, anyway, Batash, will he be back to winning ways at Goodwood? Talk about Stradivarius going for five at Goodwood. That's exactly what Batash will be bidding to do as well. This will be in the, obviously, the now Patash race, the King George Qatar Stakes. Or did you, James, see a little bit of vulnerability about him last time? Because he's a short enough price with most firms. But is there enough there?
Yeah.
And there is Dragon Symbol crucially in the race as well for Oisin Murphy.
Like Charlie Hill said openly after that, he wasn't 100% fit for Ascot, and that's a stiff old five. It's only five, but it's very stiff. So he was, if he wasn't 100%, he was going to get found out simply because the way he races, you can't do anything but sit on him. And when he wants to quicken, you quicken. So he was kind of a sitting duck. Goodwood would lean more to his strengths by getting away from him. The soft ground will pull him back a little bit at the end, but I think it'd be nice to see him win. But I think these young horses, you know, Dragon Symbol and Winter Power as well, I think they're going to really serve it up to him. I think Winter Power may, you know, she races freely. She may even take him on if he can't get in behind one on heels, which he'll try to. Dragon Symbol will pick the two of them up. He's a very exciting horse. The change of gear Ascot was there to see is real good. And I think he'll win.
I agree. But what about Tumble?
I don't want to get too involved in this because I just think it's going to be a cracking race to watch. And I hope Batash bounces back to his very best at his favourite track.
Yeah.
It's a cracker. I mean, I hope they all turn up because it would be amazing. I'm still convinced Suesa, the French filly, has got a huge run in her in a really good race. And I'm sure she'll be a proper Group 1 filly in time. Whether it's a good one, we'll be yet to see. But I think she's very smart. The bookie of William Buick is extremely promising for her. Obviously, Dragon Symbol and Winter Power both have big chances. I'd be keener on Winter Power. She's proven herself on soft ground Newmarket last season, and she's extremely fast. And I think the track will suit her very well with that lightning break she has. But I'm going to go with a slightly weird one at a massive price to run into a place, and that's Steel Bull. You'll probably laugh at me for this. But this is a horse who won the Malcolm last year at Goodwood, looked out the world at his feet, and then went massively off the boil after that. But there was a lot more to take from his run at Sandown last time out in a first-time tongue tie, where he travelled with a lot more zest. Yes, he wasn't quite the same horse, but he's definitely on the way back. And if he runs anything like what he looked like he could be, then Michael O'Callaghan's horse is no 50-1 shot. He's taking on some good horses, I know. But I think he's much better than he's shown so far this season and since he won the Markham. So Steel Bull bound about 50-1 to sneak a place for me, but it's a cracking race. And I'd be a little bit concerned about Batash on this ground at Goodwood, especially considering I don't know whether he's the horse he once was. And this is definitely, for me, the time to try and beat him. And there are a couple of horses in there who could do that if on a going day, but hopefully it's going to be Steel Bull.
No, I just like the point of Suesa because I looked at her going into Ascot and the fact that she'd only had four runs put me off and, you know, still very unexposed, ran a massive race, I thought. That's got to be looked at.
Big time.
She could be a star going forward.
I'll also never laugh at a 50-1 shot, particularly when you can get more than 50s. You can get 66s about Steel Bull. And that horse...
He's got a lot to prove on the figures.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course.
A huge amount to prove in terms of form, but he did look very exciting at one stage, and he's won at Goodwood, and he looked on the way back last time. So I think you can definitely make a case.
Yeah, and the other thing to say about Patash is it's not just the pins that are now in him. It's also the fact that Bob is gone. The fact that Bob retired.
Bob is a star,
and that horse is a nightmare. Now that his whole routine has been upended with Bob gone, don't forget what kind of a crucial role someone like that plays in a horse. So, yeah, I'd forget about him for now. Anyway, certainly the prices that he currently is. But if he wins, great. He's made history. Stewart's Cup picks from James and Tom, beginning with James.
I'm not sure whether this horse will get in, a horse called Blind Beggar. He ran at York at the weekend, and he jumped to make it and was, you know, he didn't get an easy lead. And I thought he was just going to stride too quick the whole time. And if you look at the form around him, generally, you know, hold up horses, the winner actually reared at the start and came late. I just think at Goodwood, if he's ridden the same over six, and I think he's still well handicapped. That's my point. He's a horse that I thought he could have won Saturday, but he maybe just went a stride too quick through the middle part of the race, and he was there to be got at the last furlong. I'm not sure if he'll get in, but he'll be one I'll be looking at. If he doesn't get in there, I'll be looking at next time he runs over six on an easier track. Blind Beggar, Richard Farhees.
Okay, so keep him in the locker. Add him to your tracker. Tom, for you.
Yeah, as always, extremely competitive. You're looking at a bit of a needle in a haystack. But I think Charlie Fellows has got a very worthy contender in Chief of Chiefs, a horse who's always found winning quite tricky. But he always runs pretty well. And he ran an absolutely massive race at Ascot in the Wokingham under similar conditions behind the very exciting Rohan when finishing fourth. Yes, he was probably on the right side of the track, considering that he was fourth in the group he was in. But it was much more like it from him. Off the same mark, I can see him running really nicely for Charlie Fellows. It's a very tough race to work out. I'm quite keen on Gulliver, and he'll be a big price for David O'Mara, but he's on a nice mark on some of his old form. And I think Hey Jonesy is definitely worth a look too. But I'd say Chief of Chiefs, we know he acts on the ground. He used to be campaigned over a mile before Charlie decided to drop back in trip, and that's been the making of him. So I'd say Chief of Chiefs for me, I think he's definitely got a big run off this mark.
All right. Charlie's got another horse as well. I'm going to butcher this. Ejtabab. Yeah, that was all right, actually. Yeah. Have more faith in yourself. You might just manage to blag the pronunciation right first time. Who knows? By Slade Power, and has been transferred to Charlie Fellows from Ian Williams, who wasn't doing anything wrong with the horse. But for some reason, he has been sent there and looks set to make his debut because David Egan's already been booked. So we'll see. We'll see. But best bets, lads. Who are you most confident about of the horses we've discussed for Goodwood?
Just to interject on your point about Ejtilab, I have to say it's a very interesting move, that, isn't it? Because Paul Wilds, the owner, has got a few horses and they're all with Ian Williams. So yeah, it does seem odd that he's decided to move Ejtilab to Charlie, but who knows? Maybe, I don't know, because he was in good form, so there's no point changing scenery, is there? It just seems very odd.
It's very odd, and particularly, okay, he's had a month to settle in, I think. I think he switched. Oof, better check this. I'm pretty certain that he, 26th, he switched, yeah. So it's basically the day you won. Hey, that was a great win. By the way, can you drop him off at Charlie Fellows? Thanks very much. He's going to train him now. What? I don't get it. They're both very talented trainers, so who the hell knows? Anyway, best bets, lads. James, you can go first. Who's your best bet of Glorious Goodwood 2021?
My best bet. I think James Fanshawe's filly in the Nassau, but I really like the Acropolis tomorrow.
6-1. Sorry, Oisin. Coming for you. Tumble.
I think Creative Force will win the Lennox. And as I say, I think he could easily be the Godolphin representative in the race if the soft ground prevails, because I can't see it being helpful to Space Blues' chance at all, and especially as he might be aimed at different targets later in the season. So Creative Force going to win the Lennox, I think. One we haven't mentioned is the Richmond Stakes. I think Asymmetric will win that for Alan King. I thought it was a big run in the July Stakes. I think he probably should have won that, just beaten by Lusail. And it's not as strong a contest as that one. And I also think Osman Emperor's got a big chance in the Gordon. But I'd say my best bet of the week is Creative Force.
Okay.
Another horse that'll definitely get into the Stewards' Cup. The horse I tipped up in the Wokingham at Ascot, just got chinned, is Fresh, James Fanshawe's. Still unexposed for a sprinter, goes on the ground, will run well.
Excellent show.
Get him at 10-1.
Nicely done. There's not much point in putting up Poetic Flair odds on, because that's just incredibly boring, and anyone who does that is a disgrace. I'll go for the Creative Force, Joan of Arc, Dragon Symbol Peyton, and we'll see you in Galway, because it won't quite get us to Dubai, depending on what way you do it. But we'll see you in Galway for a few scoops. Well, Ireland finally opens up. Hey, listen, James, enjoy it, because you get to be around, the sun's maybe not going to be shining, but you'll get to be around like packed crowds. And meanwhile, over in Galway, there's 1,000 people out in each day. So stay safe, enjoy it. Out of the Sir Michael Stout team that you're sending, who is the horse you're most excited about unleashing?
A lot will depend on the ground. Even like the horse in the big mile race, wants better ground. A lot of our horses want better ground. So without ducking out of it, everything's up in the air at the moment. Qatar and the Lily Langtry Saturday. You know, the horse of David Menousier, the filly of David Menousier, might run in that. We've got Maximal in the Thoroughbred Stakes Friday. He's a good actioned horse, a good ground. We run two nice horses in the handicap, in the Mile 2 handicap on Thursday. A horse called Aryan Power and Just Fine, backing up after an easy success last time out there at Sandown for the Queen. They're both horses going there with strong chances. Most four horses this week want better ground, so let's hope it dries out towards the end of the week.
Yeah, let's hope for that. And Tom, you were on Racing TV all week. Well, not all week, but you're on Racing TV on our screens and looking forward to it.
Yeah, can't wait. It's going to be a really good week. And from Galway as well. So plenty to look forward to. But yeah, good luck to James for those runners that he does have. And yeah, can't wait.
Your first appearance on TV, Tom?
It'll be my first one in the studio on Thursday. Yeah, so yeah, can't wait for that.
Good luck.
Thanks very much.
Best of luck, mate. Best of luck.
Forward to seeing it.
Yeah, that's very kind.
He can brag about all his Goodwood winners while he's tipping Galway.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Oh, we tipped this on the Final Furlong podcast. We tipped that. We've had all these winners. Now let's look at Galway. Here's Gary O'Brien. No, best of luck, mate. I hope it's going to be an absolute blast for you. And I'll be watching, because we're covering for TalkSport, where Lee McKenzie and myself are on. I can do it from home. So I'll be watching Racing TV's coverage in real time. So looking forward to that. So hopefully we'll put up some more winners for you. And thank you very much for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Of course, remember, if you're doing your bets with Tote on all racing markets, Tote Plus gives you a 10% bonus on your winnings. It is only available at tote.co.uk, tote.ie, and the official Tote app. And who doesn't want to do the place part? It's absolutely brilliant, particularly at Goodwood. So I'll be doing it, although I was goose to Galway today. Oh, well. From James Savage, best of luck with the runners of the week, and just enjoy it, mate.
Thanks.
Tom Bull.
Thanks, Emmett. Thanks.
Best of luck on Racing TV, my friend.
Cheers, guys. Really enjoyed it.
Two absolute gentlemen, and a pleasure as always. And thank you very much to you. Best of luck to you as well. Thanks for listening to the Final Furlong podcast. We're back on Thursday. Until then, safe.
Sign up to tote.co.uk today and place your first bet. If it loses, they'll refund your stake in cash up to £20. And don't forget, by betting directly with Tote Online, you get a 10% bonus on your winnings on all horse race markets with the game-changing Tote Plus. Exclusively at tote.co.uk.